on. What you see, that please write into a book and send it to the seven churches. What you see.
Damals gab's noch keine Videokameras.
At that time, they didn't have video camera.
Er musste das, was er gesehen hat,
he was to write down what he saw.
Dass wir's heute wieder entschlüsseln können. Dass es bei uns wieder
that we could unlock this today again. That we will see this again as he. So whenever we come to the Word, we should have this consciousness. God wants to show something to me. He does not only want to teach me. Of course, there is a lot of good, healthy teaching in the Word. But first of all, he wants to open our eyes. Right? We had last week a parable in our meeting in Karlsruhe of a rich man, right? He wanted to know how to inherit eternal life and asking the Lord. And the Lord told him, well, what about the commandments? Keep the commandments. But he answered, I did this from my youth. I all kept the commandments. All the commandments. Well, he had a good standing in society. He was a high-ranking Jew. And then Jesus said to him, well, you're lacking one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Wow, this man went away sad. Why did you walk away? Zacchaeus came gladly to the Lord and said, half of my goods I give to the poor. Why Zacchaeus said that? What was different from Zacchaeus? He saw the Lord. He realized him. He received a revelation from him. Why Peter and Andreas, Andrew, why did they follow Jesus? And forsook their job, everything behind their fishery, their job, and even left their family, followed Jesus because they saw Jesus. They received revelation from the Lord, who this Jesus truly was. And all of us need such revelation from the Lord himself, Lord Jesus. Without revelation, as our brother mentioned, that verse is written in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation or no vision, you could say, a people grows wild. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, says in King James. Nothing is clear anymore. Nobody knows the direction anymore, where we're going. But the Lord wants all of us to know where are we in, where does our travel go to, what we have been called for, what is the goal of your Christian life. That's where the Lord wants to make you clear and give you a clear vision. We have to see it. It is not only something for your mind. And you may deduct from other arguments. No, you should better see it. If you have seen it, this will guide you. This will determine your ways. This will give you orientation in life. You can always come back to that and focus on it again by the Lord. What we can see in the scripture, not only that those following Jesus, having seen Christ, knowing Christ, like Peter and Matthew 16, a very famous portion we quoted a number of times. So many people have different opinions of Jesus. And he brings his disciples to Caesarea Philippi and asking them, what do people say who I am? Well, they say, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah or one of the prophets. But I want to to know what do you think? Who am I? What do you say? And then there was one disciple who was very fast, very quick, as shot with a gun. He said, he answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was Peter. And then Jesus told him, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." That means you did not only understand with your mind, with your limited understanding, comprehension. This is what you realized. You saw it because the Father revealed it to you. It's a revelation from the Father. That you have known Jesus is a revelation from the Father. Isn't this wonderful? And this revelation is what we all need. It's the foundation for everything else. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That He is the Christ shows He has a commission. He is anointed for a certain work. He is the anointed one. He is the King. Anointed, the Messiah. And then Jesus said to him also, "I tell you also, you are Peter. You are a stone," you could translate, stone. "And upon this rock, I will build my church." Do you think the church is being built upon Peter? Upon a weak man, then this would not be that good. There are people believing that Peter is so important until today, after 2,000 years. There is the chair of Peter somewhere there. Southern Europe. What does he mean saying when the Lord said, upon this rock, the rock is Christ? But not only that, upon this rock, you have just known Christ. That's what I can build my church upon. If there are people that have known Christ, that is the point where the church starts. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, or Hades better translated, the kingdom of the dead, will not overcome it, the church. That's a promise. The church has a great position in God's plan. And you can see right away when Peter knew the Lord, saw the Lord also could not hold back what everything is about. All is about the church. Not only you, that you have revelation. No, it is all about the church. This is from the beginning, the heart of God. And Peter, he was told by the Lord, and he found him. We all know this portion. It says, "You are a fisher. I will make you fisher of men." You all know this, right? And in another verse, the Lord says, "I do need you as a stone. You shall be called Cephas," being translated stone. John 1 does say that. And Peter took this word quite serious. This word guided him in all his ministry, right? You can see that in 1 Peter 2 quite clearly. 1 Peter 2. He says, first, you better lay off, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisy. And if you born may desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And then verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone. To you, Jesus is the Redeemer, the Lamb having died for you. Correct, that is right. Peter says he is a living stone. Do we know Jesus as the living stone? Come to him. Coming to him. Sometimes you come to him because you have sinned and you would like to receive forgiveness. Please, Lord, forgive me. And you come. Or you have a big need. Lord, come and help me out of it. Or you have problems and you pray for the problems. Or we praise the Lord because the Lord is so wonderful. Right? Well, here's the aspect of coming to him as to a living stone. You can consciously come to the Lord as the living stone. That has a lot to do with building up, right? You also be built up as a spiritual house. There is a plan of that. There is an intention. There is a goal for our Christian life, right? That is that the church be built up. God wants to have a house, a dwelling place, a temple. He doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands. No. Lord Jesus, he would like to have a dwelling place among us. Paul also, from the beginning, realized he not only Christ, but when he asked the Lord, Lord, who are you, during his conversion, the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. You persecuted me. You are persecuting me. Paul, in fact, thought he was persecuting these crazy Nazarenes, followers, this sect of the Nazarenes, causing so much uproar, turmoil. Well, but Jesus said, you persecute me. They all pertain to me. Do you persecute one of them? You're persecuting me. Paul was very much impressed by that. So later he had a clear view of what the church is. Right? This is being expressed in Ephesians chapter 1. Even all the epistle of Ephesians, Paul clearly speaks of different aspects of the church. We have not finished it yet. Chapter 1:16, Paul prays for the Ephesians. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is he praying for? He does not pray only for their problems. He not only prays for their behavior, right? That they would improve their behavior. Well, he first of all prays for them to see something. That the God of all Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the Lord, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, literally. They shall know God, the Father. They shall know Christ. That is his burden. Lord, Father, let them all fully know you. they have seen something already. Let them fully know it now. And then it goes on saying, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, or hearts, literally, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What have you been called for? The Lord wants to show that to you. And in the same sentence, it goes on, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Where is that? In the saints. Has it come to your attention that you have received a rich inheritance? The Lord also has received an inheritance. There is one heir, one inheritance we all are to partake of. We should discover this. Otherwise, you are an heir and you don't know what you possess. Right? At home, behind my house, there is a beautiful landscape, countryside. There were many premises with fruit trees. And many of these grounds, areas, have not been labored in. Yeah, there are different kind of bushes with fruit, raspberries. Well, maybe some people inherited a lot and did not look into the land registry. Maybe it is a third or second or third generation already, and they just forgot. They just simply have not seen what they possess. We not only have inherited land, we have inherited riches. That is the riches of his glory. The riches of his glory. The riches of his inheritance in the saints. Well, how do you view the saints? Paul sees the saints as his inheritance. The inheritance of the Lord is in the saints. The Lord entrusts to us. Then he goes on saying, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? It's words you just cannot quickly skip over and understand. You have to enjoy it. Let it work on you. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? It's not only to grasp with your mind. It is something to realize in your spirit. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, we shall all know it. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is. Verse 21. All Christians would agree. Such a Christ we have, being above everything. Him we shall know more fully. He has a name above all names, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So don't be disappointed if this age today, the whole situation is, well, ruled by the most strange person. Weird person. He is above all names. There are many names mentioned today, politicians and the public. There is one name who is above all names. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yesterday, today, and the same forever. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Whenever I read this verse, it is too tremendous where the Lord put us into. church is more than just a group of Christians meeting regularly because they would like to have fellowship. Church is more than a congregation, an assembly of Christians with a good pastor. Church is more than that. More than Christians being active in the gospel. Church is where Christ is the head. And it says, 23, it's strong. Ephesians 1:23 is very strong. The church with which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Do you have this kind of view of the church? Do you see what his church is? His body, the body of Christ. His fullness, the fullness of Christ. If you hear of the fullness of Christ, you will think, well, in him, in Christ is everything. He is everything. Everything dwells in him. The whole fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. That's Christ. And it says, and you have come, you have received this fullness in him. You have been brought to this fullness in him. That is too great. It surpasses my understanding. I want to say still amen to it. Lord, show this to me. I want to know it. This will lead me in my Christian life. This will help me not to be too loose, sloppy. Lord Jesus, open our eyes. That was the problem of some of the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, right? They allowed things to come in that were not okay, that were not fitting the Lord. We do need revelation of what church is. Now we see that the church here is something completely for the Lord, for God. It's the body of Christ. It is not only for us. It's the body of Christ. It's for God. It's not only for you. You can go to find a word comforting you or a word building you up, edifying you. Building up is something else, something different from edification and edifying words. The body of Christ, Paul makes it quite clear in Corinthians. He says, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's 10. You can see it in the outline. When we break the bread, when we take the Lord's table, Holy Communion, it says here, the cup of, it's verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the fellowship? The bread which we break, is it not the communion, the fellowship of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread. Ask the Christians, do you know that verse? We, many, are one bread. We are one bread, not we are as one bread. We are one bread. You are as the body of Christ. No, you are. We are the body of Christ. We are one bread. So how many breads are there? One bread. Christ only has one body when he was on earth. And now, having died, redeemed us, and resurrected, and having sent the Spirit and brought forth the church, how many bodies of Christ are there? One. Only one. Very clear. We, all Christians, pertain to that one body. Lord Jesus, one body in Christ. Chapter 12 from 1 Corinthians goes on. In verse 12, so as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. One body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So if you have been baptized, if you have not been baptized into a so-and-so church, you have been baptized into one body. It's not upon one body, but it's literally into one body. Baptized into one. You've been translated into Christ and also into his body. This goes together. We do not separate Christ and his body. We should not do that. Ephesians chapter 1 we read already, and now chapter 4, 12. Ephesians 4, verse 12 and 11. He himself, Christ himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. They have a commission, a task, not only having their own service that we admire them. No, they have a task. That is, equip the saints for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. What is that? It follows right away. For the building up, literally, the building up of the body of Christ. Yes. And if you go on reading, the body of Christ builds up himself in love, right? It is not the apostle who builds the church. The prophet does not build the church. He renders his modest portion that the church builds up itself, right? Paul says, who am I? I'm nothing. I'm no one. I'm simply a servant like Apollos. One comes, is putting in, sowing the plants. The other one is coming in, waters. But what is growing then is of God. That's God's work, right? Paul saw himself like this. Don't make me something I'm not. We do not need great men. We need the working of God. That's wonderful what the Lord can do if we open up, open ourselves to him. So much damage was caused by us Christians following men. If we cling to a large organization, the church is not an organization. The church is not a work of man. This is the body of Christ. Let us clearly see this. Lord Jesus, we do not follow man. There are gifted men everywhere. I don't want to say that all these men do not know the Lord. There are good preachers, definitely. But I want always to see that the church is being built up. Not a work is produced. And if this preacher leaves or takes another way, everything collapses because we are dependent on him. This is what we should not do. We must not do. In the church, in the history of the churches, here we learned this. And the Lord guides us. Hallelujah. Even if we all do not look to this certain brother so-and-so, the Lord takes care of his churches. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ is your body. The church is a dwelling place of God. The body of Christ means we are part of Christ. I, with my brothers and sisters, cannot do what I want. We should not do it anyway. And even have the awareness, I'm dealing here with a member of the body of Christ. I'm dealing with Christ. You see the saints, you know them, you know their peculiarities, and still the Lord reminds me, praise the Lord for the saints. That is the fullness of Christ. That is Christ in every single one. I want to look to him and not to the other things. Lord Jesus. The church is a dwelling place of God. And in the Old Testament, there is a tabernacle and the temple. It's a holy place. It's something very special. And the Lord builds his house with us. And we are being built up for a dwelling place of God in spirit. You see in Ephesians. Now we see in Revelation, John, what does he see? We saw it yesterday in the testimonies this morning. If you look at it more closely, you will be more impressed by this. It is something to see again. John saw something I haven't seen. Lord, show it to me. Open my eyes. What you see, write in a book. Then we know it is a book with seven seals. First, someone has to unlock to me. Unveil to me. Lord, unveil your word to me. Lord, show me what you have to say to me here. First, hearing a voice like a trumpet is wonderful. The Lord wants us to hear him. John heard that voice, a loud voice as of a trumpet, and then he still had to turn himself. He was in the spirit, but still he had to turn, right? That is amazing, isn't it? What you see, write in a book and send it. To all the Christians, all of Christianity. Maybe I would have written this, but I am not the Lord. The Lord said, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. That was a word for those at that time really in reality existing churches in the land of Asia. It's part of today's Turkey. And of those places, those localities at the Paul of time, at the time of Paul, there had some churches come into existence. It was Ephesus, it was in Smyrna, it was in Thyatira, etc. And John was to bring this word to those churches. It was a word for those churches. And then he turned to see the voice that spoke with him. And that is amazing. And when I turned, having turned, says, I hear a voice, the trumpet's coming. I turn to see, and what do I see? I expect to see the Lord now. And what does he see? Seven golden lampstands. Seven golden lampstands. He does not see, first of all, the Lord. He sees, first of all, the church. Not the church universally, the church in general, where all Christians belong to. No. He sees the churches specifically in their specific places, localities. Seven golden lampstands. Distinct. And that is an important principle you can see in Scripture. As we read in the Bible, as we see the patterns, the examples in the Word, there are the churches, the church universally, the body of Christ. But practically, it works only if you have also a specific church in your locality. You can only build up the church with the saints you're having connection with in your locality. There is this exchange, coming together. There is serving, this serving together. There is such a place I belong to. I have to know, where do I belong to? And these gold lampstands are golden, golden lampstands. It's amazing. Golden lampstands. Sometimes we see the problems in the church. We see men in the church. But John sees seven gold lampstands. Although some were among them, I would have said you would not see the gold that clearly anymore. But he, first of all, sees seven gold lampstands. And that shows how God sees the church. What the church has a meaning or is important, an importance to God. Golden lampstands. A lampstand gives light. A lampstand gives you light. That is the commission of the church. Exactly at the place where you are, the church shall be such a testimony. We are standing before the Lord because in the Old Testament, the lampstand was in the temple, in the holy place, and it was burning the whole night, 24 hours from evening to morning. And we live in a dark age today. It is night time. Have you noticed? It is night time. And it's getting darker and darker, is my impression, around. So we as the golden lampstands have to shine even brighter. The gold lampstand would be another good, wonderful conference if we could take a look at it more closely, take more time to take a look at that picture more, to see Christ and the church more clearly in it. In the Old Testament, the lampstand was one with seven lamps on top of it. And these lamps were shining to the front side. It's always going forward, right? Praise the Lord. And then this lampstand is made of pure gold. Pure gold. What does that mean? It means that in the church, nothing else but the Lord and God shall be seen. His nature, His being. And if you receive Jesus, you are partaker of His divine nature. You're becoming it more and more. You gain more of His nature, His being. That is a goal. If you come to the Lord in the morning and you turn your heart to Him, you are buying gold. Gold, you are enriched. You are gathering gold. We need this. If you come to the Word, let some verses work on you, and gold will be placed upon you. And the gold lampstand consists of many of those where the gold is shining. It is God's nature that is made visible through us and is being expressed. Then this lampstand is not only a lump of gold, it is worth already enough. This is what the world considers. The price of gold is rising all the time. Everything else is getting more expensive, but even more so gold. Not only gold as such, as a substance, but it has a form, a certain form, a shape. And that is good to read these days. As in the Old Testament, they describe the lampstand. It is a kind of tree, the shape of a tree with blossoms, with buds. It's kind of an almond tree. It's a picture of resurrection. That's a tree of life. That is Christ. That's the Lord. When Jesus came to this earth, He expressed this God, this invisible God. He gave a form to Him. You could see the shape of God. And today, we have everything. We do have the living God, the Father. We do have the Son. This expression of Him and the Spirit. The Spirit gives light to you. He is the one burning. That's why we, all of us in the church, have to burn, have to be burning. The Spirit has to burn. You can look good and can do everything correct, but if the Spirit doesn't burn, is not burning, the most crucial thing is lacking. That's what we have to see. And the revelation we receive by the Spirit. It's the Spirit giving light to us, shows us who the Lord is. And these seven lampstands exist in their specific locality. If you read the epistles in the New Testament to the church in Ephesus, and the church in Colossae, the church in Corinth, it's always the church in that locality, right? And we are talking about that. The church is not only coming together. If some come together without giving them a name, they call themselves not a free evangelical church, something, then some say this is already the church. Well, I would be careful with a statement like this. You should rather see something, what a church is. Not only think where 2 and 3 gather together is the church. No, the word doesn't say that. Where 2 and 3 come together in my name, there I'm in their midst. And this is applicable, this is valid for all the Christians in the whole world. Right? Other Christians experience God speaks to them in a certain way, in a certain frame, in a certain amount. God speaks to the Christians in many places. And God stirs up people and he saves people. Well, but we have to see what the church is. He speaks nowhere as in the church. Have you seen how John turns and sees seven golden lampstands? And right among, in the midst of these lampstands, one. He is like a son of man. But I do not know him yet, such a one. Everywhere I hear of the Lamb of God carrying my sins, carrying my burdens, giving me rest, that redeems me. Hallelujah, I've been redeemed. I everywhere hear of so many gifts God gives us. Some places you have happy people singing of Jesus. Not bad. It's not wrong. We should all do much more like this. Yeah. But John here sees someone he sees no elsewhere, only among the golden lampstands. And he is different, having different eyes, not lovely eyes, but he looks at you and this pierces through. Be glad that this is the one caring for the churches, right? I would rather say we partly know him already. If you have come to the church for a while, you know him already partly in this way. You realized how he started looking at you. Right? How he, with a two-edged sword, divides in your life. Spirit from soul dividing. What we naturally would not like to hear so much, he tells us in the church. And you know, if we have not seen the church in the locality, then at such an appearance, you would rather run away, wouldn't you? Somewhere else where it's not so hot anymore. We are free, all of us. We can go wherever we want. No one in the church will be forced or compelled to stay. No. The Lord one time said something, John 6, where the people did not like to hear it. And he said, you have to eat me, my flesh, and drink my blood. Tell it to the people, to the Jews especially. And from that time on, many of his disciples did not follow him, go with him anymore. Many of his disciples from that time. Only a few were left. They were still following. But he asked them, what about you? Do you also want to leave? The door is open. What did Peter say? Lord, where shall we go to? Where shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have known you. You are the Holy One of God. Where else should we go? Our life does not have a meaning if we run away. Saints, we do have to see church. See that the Lord works in the church. Be grateful for that. It's not man. If a person says something to you you would not like to hear, don't think it's just this person, this brother, or this sister. saying something, having something against you. In most cases, it is the Lord speaking to you. This Christ does not speak from above. If you're alone somewhere and you are doing your exercises spiritually, quote, quote, the Lord speaks in the church. That's why Hebrews says, don't miss the meetings, lest no one shall miss the meetings. In the year of the COVID pandemic, we had the habit, some saints at least, they lost the habit of truly appreciate the meeting in person. That is important. The meeting is a place where the Lord speaks. The church, ecclesia, means the called out one. We have been called out by God out of everything else to come to Him. Come together. That's what the Lord called us out for. In the place where we are, He called us, that we should meet in oneness. And this oneness is so important to the Lord. You can read that in 1 Corinthians. Let me still mention that. Paul, that was actually his intention when he wrote the epistle to the Corinthians, that he had heard something about them. I had heard of the people of Chloe. Not important who that was. By those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. It's 1 Corinthians 1:11. That there are 1 Corinthians 1:11. It starts with this. Different views, different expositions of the Bible. Well, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Within the church, there were camps, you know, formed camps. Saints, be watchful in your place, in your locality, in your church. Do not allow camps to be formed, different camps. If you realize this, don't join in. There are groups of like views. They like to group together, especially in a great, big church. This may easily happen. But also in smaller churches, sure. We have seen many things like this. During the pandemic, there were so many opinions how to deal with this pandemic. Saints, my exercise always was, I do not want to have, because of such a thing, groupings, fights, and later divisions. We should not allow that. The church is one. And Paul says here to the Corinthians, is Christ divided? Verse 13. If you fight, if you argue, even because of good brothers, people, right? One brother is for Timo Rimner. The other brother is for Philip Klaus. And the third one is for Gerd Rimner. If he is sharing, giving the preaching, well, be grateful if there is a good sharing. And if someone shares like it is not touching you, then exercise yourself. Lord Jesus, I do not only want to hear what causes my ear to itch. I want to hear all the brothers Whoever shares, they're all important for the building up of the church. We have to exercise, learn to discover the riches and see the riches in the brothers, and not to evaluate against each other. No, Lord, be merciful on us, especially these last days. It is important to keep the oneness of the Spirit, right? That is an important principle. The oneness of the Spirit means we keep it in the locality we are. Of course, it would be easy if I keep the oneness with the brothers in Göppingen. I never see you. Right? Only here now in the conference. Everything is fine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shining faces. That's easy. I'm glad to see so many saints again. That is such a joy and enjoyment. Don't you feel the same? Yet still, I am also glad to see the saints in my locality. We should be even glad the same way. For every fellowship, every meeting is a joy. Right, Peter? Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Nowadays, we have saints from Brazil in our meetings, from close by. Paolo, praise the Lord. So good to have fellowship, right? Even if with the language, it's not always working as we want. Not all of us know English, and almost no one is speaking Portuguese. But we exercise, right? We are exercising. Praise the Lord. We do not, because of that, establish a Portuguese church, a Brazilian church. Well, you can find that in Germany, so-called, quote-unquote, Brazilian church. No, the church comprises everyone. If you come to Germany, don't know the language, don't seek a church that speaks your language or has your skin color. Go to the church in your place, your locality. That is the church. That is the church we all belong to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are members of the body of Christ. And we have no other goals, no other commission than that the church be built up in our place. That's where we invest ourselves and give ourselves to. Lord Jesus, in that place you will experience building up. When I go along with the brothers in my locality, we serve together, we come together, we pray together, we seek the Lord. This building takes place in your locality. And in the church, we experience that the Lord is speaking. He not only speaks through a message to me, sometimes I heard a message, but the Lord touched something other point in my life than what the brother shared. Just because I was in the meeting, the Lord spoke to me. That's an important aspect. Give room to the Lord. Think different. The Lord touches you. He speaks if we come to the meeting. And what does he do here? He brings us to the right way, on the right track. We all have our, quote, quote, construction site in our lives. Things the Lord has to work on. But stay in the church life. Take care of the church life. The Lord will make you fit, correct you, and do something positive with you. The church life is healing, is healthy for us. Then it says, the judgment begins at the house of God, right? Well, in the church life, in a certain sense, you're standing in front of court. It's not bad. We are not criminals, but we are all sinners, right? We need the judgment of the Lord. Especially in Revelation, you see the stages, different stages. The world will be judged. Everything that is established until that time, the whole world with its system, all the riches, all the money, the commercial industry, everything, the Lord will have to judge. Merchants having made trades with the great harlot, Babylon the Great. All this the Lord will finally bring to an end and judge. But in parallel, the Lord is building, establishing a testimony, right? He is also pursuing something very specific. Because at the end, not only the world is judged, and not only religion is judged, but something is established. At the end, there is a new Jerusalem there. Gold, precious stones. That is an expression, a wonderful, marvelous expression. Even the apostles are the foundation stones. It shows us to do something with us. It's men. You have to see, what is God doing? What a wonderful plan He has. He builds us up together. You, at your locality, with some saints, but another place with more saints. I heard we have many brothers in Africa, right? I just heard a message from Kenya. I was enjoying much. How many saints follow the Lord there, meeting together as the church? We have saints in Ghana, West Africa, Nigeria, Togo, Benin, many different countries. It is good to pray also for these saints, how the Lord works there. The Lord builds up His church. And it's marvelous. We are able to join in. And He's about sanctify us, healing us. You know, if the judgment today begins in the house of God, you have to be at the house of God. Right? 1 Peter 4:17. Otherwise, you will have your concept of what judgment will look like with you. I've heard of people saying, reading books of Watchmeni, but they haven't even understood what they thought they had. What the spiritual man is, the spiritual man, the Christian. If you do not know the church, you will not be able to do something with such a word. In the church, the Lord unlocks, unveils these things. In the church, you experience what is judgment. You get to know the cross. All these things we will still see these days. But the wonderful thing is, the Lord judges in the church. He carries out His judgment in the church. You are about and want to do something, but all of a sudden the Lord speaks to you. Maybe through other saints, or by just sitting in the meeting. And He burns. He's burning. These feet, you know, His feet is not as we physically think, but that is in the church. If you never come to the meeting, how will you experience these burning feet that burn away certain things that does not belong there? Well, if you are ill or you aren't not mobile, not flexible. It's good to hear the messages, the meetings online, of course. But if ever you can, you should physically, in person, visit the meetings. Everything is taking place. Or let's say many things, most of the things, take place here. The Lord cleanses His testimony. You see it in the epistles to all these churches. In Revelation, everything is mentioned. On the one hand, there is some praise to the church in Ephesus, for example. She had many good things, right? She hated the works of the Nicolaitans, right? Some did works, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, says New King James. But the church in Ephesus hated these works, these deeds, which he also hates. Revelation 2, verse 6. We always interpreted, and this is still valid today, historically, you will not find a group called that way in church history. But it's Nicolaitans, a word composed of two expressions. Things came up at that time in this direction. You can explain. Nikos in Greek means, and Laios. Nikos in Greek means the governing ones, the victorious ones. And Laios is the people, the innocent ones, the normal ones, so to say. Nikos is governing, victorious, ruling over the people. And in the church, we shall hate these works. There is not someone governing, ruling over the people. No. No man. It's just one who governs, one head that rules. Otherwise, you have a system that crept in all the Christian denominations until today. The system of Nicolaitans, the clergy-laity system. Clergy, some spiritual professionals, and the lays, the knowledgeable, professional preachers, professional evangelists, professional missionaries, everybody professional, and others come to the church service and throw their money into the offering box. And of course, they are allowed to sing the songs. Well, this is not church. Church is when we all share in, right? Praise the Lord. You all can prophesy. You can all join in, supplement, complement. Lord Jesus, show us the church.